And I want you to grab your Bible this morning. I'm in Psalm 63. Hopefully you'll make your way there and we will hear what David has to say and what David speaks, not only the song he wrote for himself to encourage him and the trial he was going through in life, but a trial for you and for me to help us in our walk of faith. And see, as we're turning to the Word this morning, I don't know about you, but if we really turn our attention to the Lord, we need to hear from Him because we live in a land, frankly, where there's a famine for hearing the Word of the Lord. I look at the circumstances that our nation faces, and I've already found a lens in Scripture, a text in Isaiah chapters 1 through 5 that shows me what it looks like when a nation turns its back on God and when there's a famine for hearing the word of the Lord. And many of the things that we see with the dysfunctional political leadership and with enemies crossing our boundaries and flooding our land, devouring our land with all the moral decadence of society and the spiritual indifference of the modern day church, it's reflected there in the word of God. We look in and we see what happened in God's day and or in Isaiah's day to God's people. And it's not just a mirror or a window that we see in their period of time. It's a mirror that looks at us and says, that's where we find ourselves today. And the answer to all those social ills and all those moral evils and all that decadence, the answer to that is the word of the Lord and the message of the gospel, because the problem is sin. Sin in the hearts of people, sin in the hearts of those who won't listen to God's principles and precepts. And what we need is God to speak. We need His truth so that we can order our lives rightly. And if we're studying the doctrine of godliness this year, and not just what God is like, but how we should be like, what we should be like, then if we're going to hear God's voice, we've got to hear Him speak in His Word, and that's why we've been opening it all throughout the year, to hear God speak to us, so that hopefully that cultivates within us a hunger for holiness, a desire to be holy as He's holy, a desire, Lord, to strive to be sanctified, to be set apart as the people of God, for your life and my life to look different from the world around us. That's what we're studying this year, and we're going to do that here in Psalm 63, a wonderful song that helps us understand when there's a longing in our heart because of spiritual drought, a spiritual hunger, something that's missing. We recognize, I don't know about you, this world offers up all kinds of things to satisfy our appetites, and they never satisfy. You've noticed that, right? I mean, how many of you have iPhone 15, all right? Because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 didn't satisfy, right? You need number 15, and that'll have us connected the way we need to be connected. There's always an update, always something more, always more bells and whistles and lights and shiny things to help us, to tempt us to think, well, you know what? This will be your Messiah. This will satisfy. And the reality is it never does. And the quicker we come to realize that and begin to hunger for the right things, the more satisfaction we'll find, because we'll find what really will satisfy our soul. In fact, sometimes if we're honest, we find ourselves in a spiritual wilderness. We find ourselves in places, listen, where we're looking around, we've tried everything around us, or we just realize, God, we need you in this moment. We need to find satisfaction. And we've tried everything this world has to offer and it doesn't satisfy. David found himself in that position and going through a very difficult time in his life, a very rough time. In fact, he was fleeing for his life from his son Absalom. His son had raised a rebellion against his daddy, and even his best counselor and friend, Ahithophel, had turned on David. And so David's running for his life, and he only has a few of his mighty warriors with him, and they're fleeing from Jerusalem in the dark of night. And as they go, they look out in the wilderness that they're fleeing into, and it looks bleak. It looks very difficult. There doesn't seem to be much hope. And as he's fleeing, if you read over there in the book of 2 Samuel, David sees the land around him, and it's difficult to go through that land. And as he does, he's very discouraged, not just by the scenery, but by what he sees in his own soul. And he's deeply troubled in those circumstances. And he writes this song to inspire us and give us hope if we happen to be going through a similar season of life. And let's just be honest, okay? Be real this morning with the preacher, because you need to be real with God too, amen? So listen, let's be honest this morning. There are seasons in life where it feels like a drought. You just feel empty inside. There's seasons. Listen, the journey of faith, it's not all mountaintops, okay? There are valleys that you go through and seasons of life. As they once said, Mama said there'd be days, amen? The Father says there'd be days too, all right? He's speaking to us this morning. He's reminding us, listen, that there are seasons of drought. Sometimes it's because of sin. Sometimes, you know what, God doesn't answer prayers in those moments right away like we think he ought. Because you know what, there's sin that needs to be dealt with and repented of. And then there's people who don't want to hear what God has to say. And that's where we find ourselves in this land. And David found himself in that land for a moment. He was hard-pressed by his circumstances. And as he was in the wilderness, he had a parched thirst in his own soul for God to bring renewal, God to bring revival, God to bring restoration. But there's a word for us today if you are in the midst of a spiritual famine. God says, listen, in the midst of that famine, you can turn that into a feast if you and I will just focus on the right thing. Here's the danger. I don't know about you. Sometimes I get, well, let's just be honest. Someone rains on my parade. And I go through that valley, right? And if I focus within, and then those circumstances that can overwhelm us, they're real, okay? But if I focus within, oftentimes I just spiral a little bit downward, more and more. And what God's saying for you and me is we've got to get our focus off of ourselves and off of those circumstances and get our vision up. And that's what David has to do. He's fleeing for his life. I don't think we're quite there, perhaps. But the reality is this, it is so dire that David says this, and this is the only way you're going to get out of that. And if you have that hunger and desire, then you should be looking up to the Lord because he is the faithful one who will see to your deliverance. And David is there. And he is teaching you and teaching me about spiritual famine and spiritual hunger and how it can be a spiritual feast for our soul. So I want you to stand with me in honor of the word of the Lord. I'm going to read Psalm 63, just a few verses to get us into the text today. And then we're going to allude to several other songs that David wrote and some things that Jesus, the Son of David, teaches us as well. So David writes this, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Why? Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus or so I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name, and my soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Father, I pray today your spirit would speak to our hearts, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters, those that, Lord, are here in the sanctuary and maybe listening online or on the radio this morning. God, I pray for them today. If they are in a season where they find themselves in the wilderness, God, and they're thirsting, their spiritual thirst is there and they're parched, God, I pray that they would discover the only source, Lord, that will satisfy that thirst and satisfy that hunger. And Father, that's you. And today I pray that we would come to discover that in a rich and a new way, and that our souls would be enriched because of it, Lord. And so that on this journey of faith, we would continue to take one step day after day, resting, trusting, discovering that there is a God, a Father, a loving Father who's tender and knows our situation and is at work in the midst of it. Lord, help us to have eyes of faith today. Speak to us, we pray, living word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You be seated this morning. David, listen, writes this song about this very difficult experience that he is going through. As he makes this confession right here at the beginning, it's the summary of why he can say everything he says. Oh God, you are my God, the God of the covenant. You are the God that made himself, made me a part of his family and a part of his covenant. And you are my God. Remember, he's the one who wrote over in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, because of that, David had said over there that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will fear no evil. Has God changed? These are years later in his life. Has something happened in his life that now he wants for something? And he's in the face of death as his own son wants to kill him. And he's fleeing for his life. Has God changed? No. God, you are my God. I will seek you. My soul will thirst for you. My flesh longs for you. Why? David knows where to turn when he finds himself in this valley. God is a shepherd, listen, and he walks us through this journey of faith. He walks with his sheep. Sometimes, listen, we need to hear his voice and follow him. Sometimes we get off on a side street or a side path, and we need to get back to the voice of God and the direction that he's leading us in. But David even said over in Psalm 23, yea, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to walk through that valley at some point in your life. A loved one will die and pass away, and a spouse, and you're going to walk that way if the Lord tarries. It will happen. There's other valleys that are mentioned over in Psalm 80 called the valleys of Baca. That's a Hebrew word for weeping. There are times we're going to pour our souls out. We're going to walk through those valleys. Beloved, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he is there, ever present in the midst of those valleys as a good shepherd for his sheep. The question is, are we looking to him? Are we trusting in him? Are we resting in him? Because the circumstances that we go through, they're in his hands. He is the God who is in control of all things that are happening. Why does he allow those to happen in our life then? I mean, if he's the God, our shepherd, that watches over us and says we should be able to say, I shall not want. I mean, why am I going through this? Have you ever had those moments where you say, why me? Why is this happening in my life? You may be there right now. You may be experiencing something like, why is this happening to me? Nothing seems to work. Nothing ever works in my favor. Here we go again. I'm going through this situation. Now listen, just so you know, you're not the only one that goes through that. The pastor goes through that too. I had a little pity party this week. A little woe is me, woe is I, right? This week. And I had to text my mama and text my bride and text a friend and say, hey man, I just need you to pray right now. I need you to pray. Because it's deep and dark sometimes in those valleys. And you know what? I'm just being real this morning. I need the Lord as much as you do. And I've had mountaintop experiences and I've got a lot of valley experiences. And this is the amazing thing. In the midst of the valley, the question is, am I going to keep looking within and looking at my circumstances and saying, man, there's no hope. I can't do anything. Or am I, like David's going to say, look to God? Because I'm telling you, he and he alone can satisfy that hunger of your heart this morning. He and he alone can bring peace. He and he alone can give you direction in the midst of that and help you to find your way out of that valley. You're going to walk through them. David wrote about them. He's singing here. He's singing a song that, listen, when it's dark outside, because he's fleeing in the dark of night, beloved, you can look to God and trust in him and discover, listen, that hunger of your heart, he can satisfy. David says, I have found deep, spiritual satisfaction and joy despite the difficult circumstances that I find myself in. Listen, his own son rebelling against him, betrayed by his confidant and counselor, even members of his family, his own nephew turning against him. David, in the midst of this, reveals to us how we should live. Listen, here's what happened. His son Absalom thought, you know what? I want to be king. So he usurped his father. He raised up a group to follow him. And they had to warn the king, king, you better get out of town because Absalom's going to have you killed. And so in the dark of night, he grabbed a few mighty warriors and he fled with some of his family down across the Kidron Valley. And as he fled and was leaving Jerusalem, he looked back and here were following him. Two men were yelling at him, King David, King David. And what they were doing, it was two priests, Zadok and Abiathar. They had grabbed the ark from the tabernacle and they were running with the ark. We're coming, we're coming. Why'd they have the ark? Well, they knew that ark. I mean, that was where God's presence was, right? It was in the tabernacle there in Jerusalem. They had gone in the dark of night and grabbed it because he's the king. He's the appointed one. We're bringing the ark with the king because God fights. And David says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, I appreciate that. But I want to tell you something. You can send the ark back. God's not limited to one location. David had already discovered that. He knew it. I'll show you in just a moment where he wrote a song about it. And David knew that. And he knew, listen, I know I don't need the ark. I need the God that the ark points to. While that was a sacred object for God's people, and it was a recognition of the power of God and his presence among his people, as that presence was there in the tabernacle, David knew God's presence in a far deeper way than just limiting itself to one location. And so he told them to go back. But as he does that, he writes a song about this experience of fleeing for his life and longing for God in difficult times. And he reminds us, listen, I need to be reminded of this, and so do you this morning. We, in these moments, need to remember that it is God who is to be our desire. God is supposed to be the desire of our heart. Listen how David says it. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. As he says down in verse 2, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary. Why? Because his soul thirsts, his flesh longs. It longs to be held. It longs to hold on to God in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. David's looking back. Listen, he's looking back as he's fleeing, remembering the sanctuary, longing to be there. Why? Because it's there in the presence of God where he celebrates with all those who gather to worship. There's something about being in the presence of the Lord in that place and your soul being encouraged. And David realizes that's what I long for. That's what I want as he's fleeing. Why? Because you see, there in the sanctuary, there was a testimony. To see God's power, to see God's glorious presence, to see and be reminded of God's loving kindness that's better than life. You see, it's when you gather in the household of God, it's when you gather with God's people that we sing and we declare amazing things about our God because he's of amazing power, amazing things about the glory of what he is doing and how he is at work. And of his faithfulness, his loving kindness, that term there, his hesed, his love that he shows us it's a covenant love that when you become one of his people, you're always one of his people. Praise God, listen, it's not just we hold on to him. Praise God, he holds on to us. And David says, I've got to be reminded of this. Yes, I long to be in the sanctuary. Yes, I long to see my God. Yes, I thirst for this. I thirst for my soul to be satisfied. But as I look, this is what I'm reminded of. I'm reminded of God's power. I'm reminded of God's glory. And I'm reminded of God's faithfulness. Now, I want you to know this. Listen, in the circumstances you and I go through, when they're very difficult, sometimes we feel we got no strength. Amen? Like you are empty. I got nothing left in me. It's in those moments where we're empty of ourselves that, listen, God demonstrates just how great and powerful he is. Paul would say it this way. By the way, it's a Greek term, asthenia. Paul calls himself the apostle of the weak apostle, the apostle with no strength. Why? Because he had discovered from God that his grace was sufficient for whatever he needed. Listen, the devil doesn't want you to rely on God's power. He wants you to rely on your own because you'll come to the end of yourself and realize I ain't got nothing left in me. And he's hoping you and I won't look to God and trust in him. David's done this already in his life. How many times had he had to look to the Lord and the power of God to deliver him when he was weak? He was just a little old boy. But he went out into battle with a sling, right? Against a mighty, powerful giant that everyone was afraid of. And David said, I don't come to you. I don't come to you with armor. I don't come to you even with a sword. I come in the name of the Lord my God. And you know what? That giant went down, right? What about his glory? Why his glory? I mean, you and I need to learn this. Listen, God is at work in our lives, whether we realize it or not. You're made to be a glory bearer, and you will glorify him. Do you realize over in the book of Proverbs, even the wicked will glorify God in the day of their doom? Every man is and woman, listen, we are all made to glorify God and to bring glory to his name. And what he wants to do is for you and I to experience goodness as we reflect his glory and reflect the glory back to him. And to know this, that in those circumstances where it doesn't look quite glorious in the moment because it's pretty dark and bleak, it's in those moments where God wants you and I to look to him, listen, and radiate that glory, reflect that glory, because he's smiling upon us and looking upon us. And as we trust in him, we bear witness and testimony to a world around us that there's a glorious God on his throne. And listen, everything that he is doing is to bring glory to his name. I read that over in Psalm 46, a wonderful song over there. It says, you know what? That we can trust in the Lord. He is a very present help in times of trouble. A shield, a source of strength for us. And what it says multiple times in that song is that God will be glorified in this earth. So we can be still and know He's God. Listen, those circumstances, when you and I yield to God and surrender to Him and allow Him to work in that trial, God can work that not only for our good, but bring glory to His name. And He will. And the reason David could look for that power and look for that glory is because of God's hesed, His faithfulness, His loving kindness. God says something, beloved, He will see it to pass. Now, do we have that promise as believers? Absolutely. Have you read in Philippians that He who began the good work in you is faithful to finish it, complete it? Beloved, praise God, as a child of God, if He's begun that good work in my life, this I know, based on the Word of God, He will finish that work because He is faithful. David says, I look back, I look to the sanctuary, I can't be there, but you know what? I'm reminded who He is. I'm reminded who my God is and what He is able to do. And so with my lips, I shall praise Him. Now, it's fascinating to me, reflecting on his life, perhaps reflecting on the truths that he knows. He says this three times, I shall praise you. I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. There is a reason. Listen, you say, Pastor Chris, it is very difficult in this trial of life I'm going through. What God wants you and I to do is be able to praise Him in the midst of it and to glorify Him. He's teaching us. He's refining our faith. He may need to, you know, to knock some of the edges off of us and shape us and mold us through that circumstance, transforming us. Listen, He's trying to shape us and mold us into the image of His Son. Sometimes we don't want that because it's uncomfortable. Let's be honest. And we make excuses and we can even play the victim card rather than saying, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What do I need to learn? Man, I've been through this too many years of my walk in life. It's better to get to that point and say, okay, not why me? What are you trying to teach me, Lord? Because I want to learn that lesson. I'd like to learn it well the first time. Amen? Because then I'll have to go through it again. He's walking us. David's realizing this. You know what? I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to bless Him while I live. I'm going to lift up my hands in your name and praise you. And God may bring some of you there right now. And I learned that a long time ago. When I was at the bottom and had to nowhere else up to look, there was God the whole time just waiting for me to acknowledge Him. And so David is, he's not reaching out there like a stranger. Oh, where are you? I don't know. No, no, no. I know you're there, and I'm reaching to cleave to you, to hold you, to pull you in. And this is his earnest desire, and it should be my desire and your desire each and every day. Now, because of that, because God was his desire, what David relates now is, listen, he is now our delight. What we hunger for, what we're trying to find satisfaction in this world, never happens, but God will supply it. And so as David reaches, he says, listen, God does delight our souls. Listen to how he says it. I will bless you, verse 4, while I live. I will lift up my hands and praise you in your name. And my soul, I love this, I underline it in my Bible, shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful song or joyful lips. Now think about that for a moment. David has expressed, my soul, it's thirsting for you. My flesh hungers for you, longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. But this I know, I shall be satisfied. Now, the picture here, you know, y'all like all-you-can-eat buffets. I'm sure you do. Amen. I saw an amen in the back row back there. Okay. I won't say who. Okay. All right. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Hey, listen, you know, when you can just feast and go back for seconds and thirds and fourths and then ice cream. Amen. It's good. David says, listen, I have discovered that God can satisfy that appetite. And I shall be satisfied. And this is joyful hope that will be realized right here. This is a cause, a reason to sing and celebrate that God satisfies. Remember what he said? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. You see, God not only provides provisions for us, he also gives us rest and restoration. And as he does that as one of his sheep, that's a sweet assurance that we can have, a confidence we can have, that God will satisfy the hungers of our heart. I love what the Son of David said. It's not just David who says this, and that I shall be satisfied. I think of the Son of David who said, listen, if you ask of me, I'll give you water and you'll never thirst again. Now, wait a second, Pastor Chris. I've journeyed in my journey of faith. There's been times when I'm crying out to God for satisfaction. I thought I wouldn't thirst again. Well, beloved, it's a season, but he will sustain you. We have to learn to look to him, to trust in him, to give us grace and to listen to his voice and to his leading. And as we do that, God supplies what is needed to satisfy our soul, to delight our hearts and delight our souls. And so with joyful lips, David can praise him. He can magnify him. Now, here's what he does. Here's how he does it. Notice in verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Why? Because you've been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you, and your right hand upholds me. When I meditate, when I remember, when I look back, it's not just focusing on God. Do you remember where you once were before you came to the Lord and how he changed your life? Can you look back in your life and just keep a record every now and then? Hey, here's where he supplied for me. Here's where God has blessed me. Man, I looked to him and he satisfied me. He provided for me. He protected me. David says, I can look back. I can remember. I can meditate not only on who you are, but I can also remember what you've done because you have been my help. You've been my divine helper. Why wouldn't I run to you? Why wouldn't I call on you? Why wouldn't I trust in you? Here's the problem. Oftentimes when we go through these seasons, what we do is we don't meditate on the Lord. What happens is we just spill our guts on Facebook, right? And we tell everybody how dire things are rather than fall on our knees and saying, God, I need you. Or calling on a brother and sister, listening and saying, will you just pray for me right now? I just need encouragement. I just need the Lord in a powerful way. Well, let me encourage you. I mean, that's where we need to run to. All that does is it just stews out there and you never find satisfaction. And I just see people and I'm like, why are you spilling your guts out like that? Go to the closet and give it to the Lord and call on him. David says, you know, or lie on your bed. Listen, I know we get in there, we just turn that over and over and over in our head, and we have restless nights, and we need not just a MyPillow, right? That's not what we need. What we need, listen, is to find rest in the Lord, to meditate on him so we don't have restless nights. In those moments, listen, I have them all the time. I mean, I'm up at 1, 2, and 3 in the morning, so it's like I roll over. Okay, what am I going to do? You know what I find myself doing? God, in the middle of the bed, I'll just raise my hand. You've been faithful. I'm trusting you right now. Lord, I'm going to give this to you. I don't want to wrestle with this. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to choose to believe. You haven't changed. Your name's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I can trust in you. It's difficult. I'm being real. I go through this too. And what I have to do is remember who he is. Remember how far he's brought me. Remember where I once would. Remember how he's changed things. How my life has been transformed. And how God has been faithful each and every time. It's healthy and good to step on your own toes and preach to yourself every now and then. And remind yourself that God hasn't changed. And look to him. Now, what's fascinating to me, and this is why I mentioned earlier about the ark. Notice this. What it says in verse 7, and then in the margin of your Bible, I want you to write a couple verses right here, all right, that you can reflect on a little bit more. We're going to look at them quickly, but notice this. I want you to write in the margin of your Bible, Psalm 61, verses 3 and 4, and then Psalm 139, verses 5 and 10. 61, 3 and 4, Psalm 139, 5 and 10. Now listen to what he says. God, because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Now, a lot of times we think about, you know, a hen and we're under the shadow, like little chicks under the shadow of the wings. But, you know, what did I tell you earlier? When those priests came running, David was looking back to the sanctuary. David was reflecting on God's presence. And where is God's presence? Well, if you've come on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the tabernacle where you go to worship. And as you talk about the tabernacle and you see, listen, what was in the Holy of Holies where God's presence dwelt, it sat there upon the mercy seat. And the mercy seat was over the ark. It was the lid for the ark. And that mercy seat was one hammered piece of gold with two cherubim who had great wings that tipped touched each other there. And their faces, like the angels, the cherubim over God's throne in heaven, they looked down upon him. And they looked down on that mercy seat where the priest would throw the blood, the high priest, when he would come in on one day of the year for sin so he wouldn't get killed. And because he needed satisfaction. God needed his wrath satisfied in some way, and that was a temporary covering. Those cherubim would look down and those wings. And so what David knew is this: the safest place always to be is under the shadow of those merciful wings. Look over in Psalm 61. Listen to this. God, verse 3 and 4, Psalm 61. You're probably on the next page. Just look over. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever, and I will trust, here it is, in the shelter of your wings. Those wings are tied to that tabernacle. Those wings are tied to the faithful, merciful covering of God for his people. It's the reason we can run to that strong tower. As Proverbs 18:9 would say, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe. Beloved, you need to learn to run to God in the midst of difficult circumstances. We need to learn to run to him because he has been a shelter for us. David just reflecting and thinking about that. Listen, it's in the shadow of your wings that I will rejoice. Why? Beloved, those mercies are new every morning. That's what the prophet Jeremiah told us. Every morning you and I wake up, we know this: God is merciful. Praise God. And it's by his grace that we're going to be sustained through the day. Learn to look to him and discover how he will provide and satisfy and give delight to your soul. Now, I told you to write Psalm 139 because David wrote a song over there in Psalm 139. In verse 8 here, he says, my soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. You see, David had already meditated on the essence of who God is and what he's like over in Psalm 139. And as he just reflected and thought about who God is, here's what he said about God's omniscience and his omnipresence. He said in Psalm 139, you have searched me and known me, and you know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. Behold, God, you know it altogether. But you have, listen to this, hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Now stop and think about the circumstances we go through. Do you realize God knows everything about that path that you're on right now? He knows what you and I are thinking about that path, what we say about that path, even before the words on our tongue, what we might want to say about the circumstance we're going through. God knows it all. And David says, you know what? You've hedged me about. You've protected me, and your hand is upon me. And then he just stops and says, you know what? Such knowledge is just too wonderful for me. I can't. It's too high. I can't attain it. Who am I that God would take thought of me? Who are we as his children that he would think of us? But he's a loving father. Now then David goes on and says, well, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? I tell you what, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make a head in my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there, watch, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. David says, you know what? Not only does God know everything and he hedges us about, but God's there. Even when I don't feel him present, even when you don't think and feel he's there, beloved, he's there. And he's waiting for you and I to acknowledge him. And the quicker we do, the better it will be. Why? Because that's what he wants everyone to do, to look to him. David said, this is too precious. I can't even imagine all these, how much he thinks of me. And to know wherever I go, his right hand is there. And his hands encompass me. And you know what? When I listen, not just to David, but I listen to the Son of David, Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus said? Listen, if you're one of God's children, you know what the Father does? He writes our name on the palm of his hand. And Jesus said, between that and the Spirit sealing us, you know what? Ain't nobody plucking us out. Now you see, I need to remind myself of that sometimes when I'm going through difficult circumstances, and so do you. Know whose you are. Know what he's done. Know what those hands are capable of doing. Listen, they are all powerful hands. No one can pluck us out. Those hands are promised to work things together for good. Romans 8:28. For those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And his purposes are glorious purposes. He's going to work those things out because he is a faithful God. Beloved, he's not, listen, you're not holding on to him with your last strength. He's holding on to you. And he just wants you and I to acknowledge that. And it's healthy. And when you have that hunger and that desire, realize that the greatest desire you and I need to have is him, because he's the only one that can delight our soul, give us satisfaction, and help us to realize that, you know what? It's worthy. It's time to rejoice and praise him. Because, beloved, that's who he is. Now, this is the ultimate part right here, verses 9 through 11. He says, ultimately, you know what? God's not just my desire and the one that I delight in. He is the one that will deliver me at some point. Listen, I know the enemies are real. They're there. This doesn't diminish the circumstances. I in no way, or nor do I think David in any way would diminish the circumstances. They were real. David was burdened. As he went out and fled for his life, he realized it was his son. The burden of a father having to realize that. But the enemy was real, and David even prayed. Listen, when y'all go out in the woods to find him, if you find him, don't kill him. Don't kill him. Bring him to me. I think he wanted his son to repent, to be honest, because he had sinned greatly too and had repented and discovered the awesome forgiveness of God. And I think he wanted his son to repent. In fact, what's amazing is if you discover in the judgment that happened among Absalom and his warriors that fought with him, more of them died from the trees and the woods than died from the sword. Because God fought for David. He fought for his chosen one. But David knew of the steadfast love of God, so he praised him about it. Those who seek my life to destroy it, they shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be the portion for jackals. Listen, the enemies are real. They're out there. And they want our destruction. And they don't want us to thrive in any way. But there's something that's going to happen one day. It's called judgment. It may happen sooner than they realize. But it will happen. And David says, he paints a very bleak picture for them. The scavengers, the jackals, the one who feasts on the leftovers will come and devour them. There's no dignity for an unburied body to a Jew. They believe the bodies should be buried. So for a jackal to come and eat you and scavenge on your remains, what a bleak picture there for those. But not just their assured destruction, but here, listen, God's deliverance for the king. Notice this in verse 11. Now, you might want to circle this. I did. Listen. But the king shall rejoice in God. And then I circled this. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Listen, here's the assurance I have. There's a judgment day coming. And God will right the wrongs. He will vindicate those who walk by faith. Our faith will, listen, be rewarded one day. Everyone who trusts in him, who swears by him, beloved, we shall glory in him. The king, I shall rejoice, David says. You say, well, I'm not a king or a queen. Yes, you are. Do you not realize that you're a part of a kingdom? If you're a child of God, you're an heir, a joint heir to the kingdom of Christ. In fact, Peter would say we're a royal priesthood. In other words, listen, you and I are made to worship God and to offer up spiritual sacrifices to him. As kings and queens, we're part of the royal family in this way. Listen, we're only there because of Jesus. And he's made us joint heirs, All that's His is ours, is what He says. What an amazing blessing and privilege we didn't deserve. We've got every reason to praise Him. And listen, He says, one day everybody who swears by Him shall glory. I thought about that, and I thought about the circumstances of the Apostle Paul and all that he experienced as he walked and shared the gospel and planted churches and just tried to bring truth to people who not always wanted to hear it, particularly those in Israel. But it's amazing what he told the Corinthians over there. He said, listen, do you realize that the afflictions that we go through right now in life, now Paul had experienced plenty of them. He'd been stoned a couple times. Listen, students, that's rocks thrown at you, okay? He had been beaten with rods, left as shipwrecked in sea, and hoping to live and survive those things. He had experienced all that, okay? Now, here's the amazing thing. He says, listen, those momentary light afflictions that we go through in life, in the scale, when you try to weigh it out against what happens in glory, he says, it doesn't even compare to the eternal weight of glory and all that awaits us. Beloved, this world, listen, this isn't for us to be living in perfection here. It's to prepare us for the place of perfection. And God allows these circumstances to shape us and to mold us and refine our faith so that, listen, when we go through those circumstances, we'll discover perseverance and character and hope. We'll discover, listen, a faith that's refined and like pure gold. He's teaching us to call on Him, to trust in Him, to believe that He is all-powerful, to believe that He is going to work things for our glory, to believe that He is faithful, to rest in Him and trust. And He's doing that, allowing that in our life to draw us closer to Him and make us more like Jesus. So when those things happen, embrace them. Don't run from Him, run to Him, and rest on these wonderful, amazing truths and ask God to deepen that hunger, that longing, that desire for Him. Because David says, that's where I am. Beloved, David's right about this. Listen to what Paul would say about the Son of David. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise God for that today, that assurance, Romans 8, chapter 1. Later in that chapter in Romans 8, he'll say, listen, can anything separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Nope, nothing. Those assurances are there for us today to remind us when we go through the wilderness that we can rest and trust in God and keep going forward, faithful, fixing our eyes on Him. Listen, if you've been looking within, beloved, it will only spiral downward, downward, downward. Don't do it. Today, choose to look differently, a different spiritual gaze. Choose to look up and trust God hasn't changed. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I can trust in Him and rest in Him and find my satisfaction in Him. And I pray He does that and restores your spiritual vitality as you find satisfaction in Him and strength in Him. But maybe there's a circumstance today that you know what? You need to just lay it on the altar. God, I've been wrestling for too long. I've been restless for too long. I've not been looking and resting in You. And instead of wrestling with You, God, I want to rest in You. That's what God invites you to today. If you're one of His children, He says, listen, these are the assurances that we have because He's not changed. But it's important that we become one of His children. And the way we do that is we say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And I can't save myself. In the first service, we had one come forward and testify. You know what? I was a sinner, but now I've been saved. And God has redeemed me. And I want to follow the Lord in obedience and believer's baptism. You may be there today. You may just be at the point where, you know what, I need Jesus. I need Him to save me from my sins and be the shepherd of my soul.